I want to talk today about stand or standing. Lord calling us to stand. How many of you have ever had somebody say, well, if you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything? Or if people want to know, well, what side are you on? Where do you stand in the matter? I want us to go back to 2 Samuel chapter 23 and look at verse 11 and 12. 2 Samuel. This is in the Old Testament. It's over on the left side of your Bible. If you're new to the Bible, you know, there starts Samuel. You maybe if you open up the middle, you hit like the Psalms, you just keep backing up for a little while. 2 Samuel 23, verse 11. Now, verse 8 and all, starting with David's mighty men, we're talking about David's mighty men here, and these are pictures for us. And I want us to look at this particular fellow I want to point out as kind of a picture for us today. His name's Shammah. We're starting here, and he's going on. There's one fellow that, these are the mighty men. You know why they're mighty men? It's because David had an anointing come upon his life for war and warfare. And so all these despairing fellows, about 500 or so, all gathered around David. And David slew a giant. He took out a giant. He was a giant killer. And so these other men gathered around him, and they became giant killers. They came under that anointing for warfare and began to have success. Jesus has an anointing for warfare for your life. You come under his mantle and his anointing, and there's an ability to do things that you couldn't do otherwise, because he comes and empowers you to stand when you would rather run. And then we see this with this particular fellow, Shammah. Amazing little verse here. And after him, so we went through these other guys, and here comes Shammah. And after him, Shammah, the son of Agi, the Hararite, the Philistines had gathered together into a troop. I don't know how many people in a troop. Let's pretend at least 50, maybe 100, I don't know. Maybe throw a garrison in there. I don't know what. I was asking Gary, and they don't use the terms troop. And today, so I'm not sure how many that would be, but let's say there was a bunch of them. So they gathered together in a troop where there was a piece of ground full of lentils, and so the people fled the Philistines on the bean patch, this ground full of lentils. Verse 12 says, but he stationed himself. Another version, the English Standard Version, says he stood in the midst of the field. He stationed himself in the middle of the field, defended it, and killed the Philistines. So the Lord brought, everybody say, the Lord brought. The Lord brought about a great victory. So here's a man who stood his ground. And he's a picture for us today to stand our ground. How many of you know that when the Lord made you, it was actually way back in the garden, it was a good thing. And we weren't as broken down. In fact, Ecclesiastes, if you want to turn there, chapter 7, verse 29, it says this. I love this verse. Truly this I have found, that God made man upright, but they have sought out many schemes. So here's the point. You and I, before the fall, were made upright. There's something of a hope of walking with God correctly. And all the promises and all the things in the Bible have to do with God giving an enablement to us, an empowerment to us. Here's the promise. Now, I'm going to give you the strength to do it. You can't do it on your own. How many of you figured that out pretty quick? There's an enablement, there's an empowerment that comes by the Lord. And he calls us like he calls Shammah, except now it's not a physical battle. It's a spiritual battle. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, wickedness in heavenly places. It's these works of the enemy that are invisible. So in the Old Testament, we have a physical picture of a spiritual reality, that God brings us into a place to stand, and there's a certain warfare that he helps cause us to engage in. How many of you ever have run? Run away! Run away! Run away! probably everybody is like, I don't think I want to be here. But what did that do for your spiritual growth? Nothing. You ended up dissipated, right? In fact, Psalm 1 is an amazing verse that points out the whole cycle of what happens when we go the way of the flesh. It says, blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sits in the seat of the scornful. Blessed is man who does not do that, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on it he meditates day and night. Now notice this. If you listen to the counsel of the wicked and you begin to walk there, guess where you'll end up standing? You'll be standing in the way of sinners. And guess what? You'll be sitting in the seat of the scorner, telling others that are looking for wicked counsel how to walk and end up where you are. And that's the cycle that's going on today in the culture. Standing against the way of the Lord, saying, walk this way. You end up standing in a place that is so detrimental to you, a place of decay, a place of ruin, a place of brokenness. We have a broken culture today. So I wanted to look at Shammah, and I want us to take a peek at several of the ways that God calls us to stand today and why. Are you ready? Are you really? Do I need to jump up and down? Okay. Just stand. I'll just stand. Let's go ahead and put number one up. We're called to stand so you don't fall back. Paul was a murderous fellow before he got saved. Paul was doing pretty much some damage. Paul was a very egocentric, self-serving fellow. He was he gives the accolades of his past life in Philippians chapter 3. He says, I was a Pharisee of Pharisees. He was one bad boy. He was killing people who were serving Jesus. So we all know that story. Well, after he comes to know the Lord, and he really is now doing the work of the ministry, and it takes some time. He's in Jerusalem 3 years, and then he goes out in the desert for 14. He comes back. He's in a group of people at Antioch. He's called out to begin to go and teach and disciple and win the Gentiles to the Lord. When he goes out, he'll go out there, and he'll plant a work. And then these same guys that were like he used to be, they would all show up in the town. And this is the kind of thing. He comes in and he tells them about what Jesus can do, and they receive the Lord. Jesus has died for your sin. Your faith in him will radically change your life. They put their faith in Jesus. Miracles begin to happen. All kinds of transformation begins to happen. And then he leaves. And these other guys come in and say, hey, you know what? Paul didn't really have it right. You have to also... And then the alsos come in. You have to be circumcised. And for Gentiles, that was like really exciting. Oh boy, I have to be circumcised. I can't wait. Where's the line? Where's it form? And they have to keep these other traditions, these Jewish traditions and all this stuff. And so Paul now is coming back and he's writing a letter. He's explaining to them that this is a different gospel. Get this. Look at me, guys. Self-performance is not what it's about. It's not about... Paul says, I know that pathway. I know self-sufficiency. I know it all being on me to pull it off. How many in the house... I know what it's like when I've got to do it all and it's all relying on me. I've had that orphan mentality for years. And Jesus comes along and says, my burden is easy. Begin walking with me. Paul brings that message. So he kind of boils it down. He even uses an amazing analogy right before the verse we're going to look at. He uses this amazing analogy about Hagar. Is the woman of the slave a child? I mean, the not free child. And there's the promised one. This boils down to Ishmael versus the son of promise. It's kind of what he's saying by this. Ishmael was Abraham's effort to perform God's will on his own, with his own ability. And he said, the sons of Ishmael are still warring against the sons of promise to this day. And he says, so therefore, the verse is on your paper. So therefore, for freedom, Christ has set us free. I'll put up. That's pretty amazing there. For freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. In other words, I want you to stand so you don't fall back. How many of you have had some area where you come out of a place of real ruinous work on your soul? Something that you, maybe an addictive thing, maybe a just some bad pattern of thinking, something that's just been bad. And the Lord begins to bring you out of that. He says, stand. You don't want to go back into the slavery of that. And I looked up the word slavery. I looked up the word, this bondage word here. It says slavery, a condition of a slave. Bondage which consists in decay, slavish sense of fear, such as produced by thoughts of death, devoid of buoyancy of spirit and trust in God. And that sounds weighty, but here's the point. Have you ever had something so despairing that you just wish you were dead? He says, if you do not stand in the liberty that God has made you free, then you'll go back to that sense of overwhelming sense of death and despair. It's kind of a good motive, isn't it?
Yeah.
Don't do that. But I say, go ahead and say stand so you don't fall back. Is that a good reason? Paul is saying, I don't want you going back into the slavery of this whole thing where it's... And this is a really interesting thing. We are just wired to think we got to do it, aren't we?
Yeah.
We're just so wired. And you put out some effort, then you get mad at yourself when you mess up, and then you want to get... It doesn't... The grace of God is what makes us... I don't think there's anything that I have come out of that's been deep that hasn't been completely empowered by the grace of God.
Yeah.
That if I don't know that the Lord loves me deep down... In the midst of all of my hurt and confusion, I don't have a chance. But when I embrace the reality that the Lord loves me, and it takes time, I don't know why, maybe I was just a slow learner on that because I didn't come from a real embrace. There are some people who go, yeah, I know the Lord loves me. They're happy and they're healthy, but I didn't have that to start with. And that was a whole new foundation thing. And for the Lord to come and say, I want you to stand. When I was praying, heading for my study time, the Lord just spoke this word, stand. He says, I want you to stand in today. So that's the first one here. Let's look at the second one. Number two, stand so you don't trip up. Stand so you don't trip up. There was, anybody know about Paul's life on his missionary journeys? He heads into, in chapter 19, he heads into Ephesus. And as he goes into Ephesus, he meets these 12 guys. First thing happens, he meets these buddies, you know, these guys, and they said, have you been baptized? He goes, well, we've been baptized in the name of John. He goes, oh, you're not been baptized in the name of Jesus? Well, let's go get you baptized in the name of Jesus so you actually get saved. He baptizes them, they come up, lays hands on them, they begin to pray in tongues and prophesy, they're baptized in the Holy Spirit as well. It's like, this is a good day, starting off in Ephesus. Then the next thing, he goes and he's preaching in the temple for about 2 years, and just a lot of, then some people really, isn't it amazing when you're preaching in the Word, then there comes a reaction. And they chase him out of there, and he goes to another place for a year, and in the midst of all that, there's some guys that are listening to what he's teaching. And they go off and they try to do what he does, but they're not believers. They call the seven sons of Sceva. And they go out to cast out some demon somewhere. So they come into this place. They say, and now, in the name of Jesus, whom Paul preaches, we adjure you to come out of him. And the demon jumps on him and says, Jesus I know and Paul I know, but who are you? It comes, prevails on him and beats the snot out of him. And they're running out of town. This puts a whole fear over, wow, the authority that this Paul walks in the name, begins to happen. Then he starts to, and the people get out all their occult books and all this stuff. They build bonfires and they're turning away. This whole region is beginning to have this effect. Right? And then Demetrius pops up. And he makes these little silver shrine things to the goddess Diana. And all these people are leaving the cult worship, and they're listening into what Paul's preaching. And they're leaving that. And the business is dropping off. It's really bad for the businessmen. So they get together, and there's a big ruckus, and they all go out to the amphitheater, and they shout for hours, "We will, you know, worship the God of Stan." All this stuff goes on and on and on. In the midst of all this physical people problems, Paul, when he gets away, he writes a letter to the Ephesians. And in the concept or the context of these people being there, he still says, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. What is going on here? Let's just drop back right here to today. We'll drop something in here. What's going on today in our culture? I'm going to make it really, really simple for you. This is super simple. Over here, absolute truth. Over here, not absolute truth. Relativism. This is all that's going on. These are spiritual realities and ideologies that are promoted by spirits. Holy Spirit, Satanic Spirit. Over here, absolute truth, there's a standard and a day of accountability and a Savior who died for you, who shed His blood, that you can come out of the things that bind you and you can come into the fullness of His love for you. Over here, freedom is all about being whatever you decide you want to be. It doesn't matter anything. You can just go ahead and be whatever you want to be. Oh, really? Because you're going to meet Him. Every knee will bow. And every tongue will confess. And if it's not here, it will be then. And this is sad. Because how many of us walked down a long hallway of our own selfishness and all kinds of things got attached to us, and then we turned to the Lord and now we realize the pain and the howling of hell and all the hurts that we've got to come and be healed out of to come out of that. It seems to be, this is a sad part, but it seems to be over here, if you don't agree with us, and see, you know where the argument goes. But that's it in the simplest terms. Absolute truth, relativism. That's what's going on in the culture today. So we really don't wrestle against flesh and blood because these are spiritual works. These are ideologies that are promoted by spirits, right? So when you come out of one of those, how many of you have come out of a bad way of thinking and you realize, that just wasn't me. It wasn't just me. I gave place to something and something got in my life. And now that it's out of my life, I don't think that way. I can think more this way. So Paul is saying that. Now let's look at this number two here. Stand so you don't trip up. So Paul is saying in the midst of all that, between verse 11 and 12, 11 and 13 is verse 12, which says we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. But our verse here, go ahead and look at your paper there. It says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. Now, this is an amazing thing. Look at the word scheme. This is what the word scheme means. Follow up and investigate by method and settled plan. The devil follows craftily and frames devices to deceive. So let's say, he plants a thought in your head about somebody. And you don't go and, you just receive it. And now you've got something in your heart against somebody. And because you did not deal with it and received it, he follows up later. It works. This works. I'm following up. I'm investigating that the lie I sowed is having effect. Let's go and do another one. We come back, plan another one. Now this person is getting more and more distance from people. Why? Because they're believing this. And then they share it. Now they're sharing this stuff. And hell goes, oh good. Follows up. Because this is a scheme of darkness. It says schemes of the devil. It says put on the armor so you're able to stand against the schemes of the... It says to stand against this stuff. How do you stand against it? You recognize it. If it's not love, what is it? If it's not motivating a Christ-like heart, what is it? Is it help? Anybody here today still like what you're hearing? Because the Lord calls us to stand. And that's one reason, is to stand so you don't get tripped up. Now let's look at the next one. Stand so you don't give up. Therefore, take on, it says, therefore, take, no, we're not talking about the full armor of God today, even though this is really wrapped around this whole passage, is the helmet of salvation. And there's so many today in the body of Christ that just have the helmet on, and that's it. I'm saved, but I'm not equipped. I'm not walking in the truth. I don't have the breastplate of righteousness. I don't have the shield of faith. I'm not walking in the shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. I'm not living the life. I'm not praying in the spirit. It's amazing that Paul sees all this and sees this analogy for us. But in order to stand, you must be equipped to stand. He says, stand, and so that you don't give up. How many of you see the difference here? How many of you have realized, even in your own life, that you have stood and then you've messed up and fallen back, and then you realize, okay, this is a mess. I got to get up. How many of you have been tripped up before? A schema that if it works. The way you really get good at not getting tripped up is you come before the Lord regularly, have times with Him, intimacy with Him, be a forgiving person, living, have a repentant heart. You begin to do those things, live in the light of the truth, open up, discuss things, talk things through. Are you hearing me? How many of you know when you don't talk about stuff, you can just keep stuffing it. And next person comes up, you just hit them with the whole bag. It's just living in the light. If you live in the light as He is in the light, you have fellowship with another, and the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. Therefore, take on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, stand. I typed these in, and I guess I was really tired, so you can fix all the... This is an amazing word for evil. I didn't know it meant this. Everybody look up. Annoyances. Annoyances. An evil day is full of annoyances. It's full of hardships, pressed and harassed by labors. I'm toiling here, and I'm tuckered out. It's a time of peril to Christian faith and steadfastness, causing pain and trouble. An evil day has got you worn out. Is that right? How many feel you said, thank you for calling me to stand in the midst of me? How many of you have had some evil days where you just want to give up and leave and quit the whole thing because there's a... I know that, when you read the Christian classics, and you got people like, just Luther or John Bunyan, not Paul, but John, and you look at all those, and what you really see there is you see a true biblical theology on actual suffering. Over here, and there was like, there's a time went by, and then in today's American, there's an addiction to comforts. And so any kind of suffering is like, oh, God must be mean. And there's a real lack of understanding. Do you know that Pilgrim's Progress was written? And a guy was in prison, a dungeon, for like 17 years. And what comes out is a bestseller it was the next bestseller to the Bible for like years and years and years and years, all because of suffering. He wrote that. We don't have the right theology on this. I'm not here to spook or scare anybody, but look, part of this is us to toughen up a tad. Instead of throwing up our hands and say, oh, it's just too hard and I'm not going to stand because the days are too evil and I'm just tired out. I don't want to just... That's right. I got it? I know everybody's had for me, it's been a long month with a lot of activities. And I'm praying about what to speak on. The Lord says, stand. So I'm so happy you're here today to hear the word of the Lord for me. I appreciate you being here. But the Lord wants us to stand because there's going to come other evil days. There's going to come ramped up annoyances. There's going to come perils. There's going to come things that want to just strip you of everything that you got. And the Lord says, I'm going to ask you to stand. Stand. Just tell the Lord right now, I choose to stand. I choose to stand. If you receive that, because look, there's an anointing upon Jesus Christ that comes on you, and when you stand, what happens is when this, all the dust clears, there's a mighty victory, and whatever that troop was, they're all gone. Yep. And just like, you don't know how, but you're standing there, and everything is fine. Yeah. Let's receive that. Let's just pray. Father, we just thank you for the outpouring of your anointing. You declare, you give us. It's all your power. It's all that you do in us. We make the choice and then you empower us. And we thank you for that empowerment. As we choose to stand, no matter what, we thank you that the strength comes from the Lord, that we're emboldened. And we praise you for that. We thank you for the strength of that and the joy that comes along with it and the expectation of good that comes out of it and all the things that a fruitfulness that happen. And Lord, I don't know if anybody needs this actually today, but we will because we're called to stand in you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And there's one more. Number four, pray for others. Pray for others to stand. We'll close on this. It's just a little verse. Colossians 4, verse 12. Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ Jesus, greets you. This is Paul writing to the Colossians. Always struggling on your behalf in his prayers. What a beautiful way to put that. Always struggling on your behalf in his prayers, that you may stand, mature, and fully assured in the will of God. I want to invite you to do something. Next time you feel that life is really rough and you're going through one of these evil days or a scheme against you or you just feel zapped out and strained, I want to ask you to pray for somebody else to stand. Begin to pray for another person. Lord, strengthen their walk in you. Strengthen them. Cause them to be made strong in the Lord and the power of His might. So you don't fall back, so you're not tripped up, so you don't give up. Let's pray for others to stand. Can we set everything aside just for a moment? I was just going to call you to have a quiet moment with the Lord. Because you're standing in something and you ended up where you are because of something. And I believe there's an anointing of the Lord in this word. I believe there's an equipping spiritual impartation in this word. That there's something that you can choose right now that you're going to stand and the Lord is going to release inside of you a victory. Now, the victory's already been released in Christ Jesus, but you receiving it in your situation is what I'm talking about. Like that verse that says, and Satan's, the snake will be crushed under your foot shortly. You'll see that the victory is yours. Would you allow a kind of a holy murmur of gratitude and just prayer to begin to fill the room here? Thank you, Lord, Brother Bishop. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Walk away. Whatever that thinking is, whatever it is, just walk away now. Walk away. In your heart, walk away. Leave it behind. Leave it behind. Let it go. Let it go. Walk away. Settle that in your heart. I'm done with that. That's over. It's over. I'm done with it. I'm choosing to stand in the strength and the might of the Lord. I want the pastors or whoever's going to pray on the platform just come on up. It's so easy too run by a moment. I know we don't feel... it's not about feeling, it's about responsiveness to what the Lord is saying to you. If you have a signal in your heart that the Lord is saying, I want you to make a stand, I want you to invite you to come and agree in prayer with somebody here on the platform. Okay? Can you do that? We're not going to sing Just As I Am for 17 times. I'm inviting you, in responding to the Holy Spirit's dealing, to come and declare something and allow the Lord work that. If the Lord's doing something in your heart, then let's establish it, okay? Let's go ahead and stand together. Hallelujah. Now the Lord bless you and keep you and make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah.